In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Don't listen to the scoffers who mock and belittle the faith because the Lord delays. Jesus shall come like a thief in the night, at a day and hour no one expects. He shall come in power and great might, riding upon the clouds of heaven. But it's for mercy that Jesus delays. He delays that all may repent and be saved. Yet make no mistake about it, Jesus is soon coming. When he does, he'll come with all his holy angels. This man of flesh and blood shall take his rightful seat upon the glorious throne as all the nations are gathered before him. The books will be opened and you will be known as you truly are, in thoughts and words and in actions. What you've taken such great pains to hide were never hidden from God and will be hidden no longer from men. God in the flesh shall pronounce judgment upon his brothers and sisters, upon you. And take note of what he judges. Jesus judges your works, what you've done. But these aren't things you've done to justify yourself. If they were, you'd be condemned. The works Jesus judges are his own. He judges whether or not his merits are credited to you by faith. Consider the goats. When Jesus reads their sentence and calls them accursed, they're astonished. Weren't they also Christians? Didn't they consider themselves religious or say they liked going to church? Didn't their ancestors build this or that congregation? Didn't they do things that were needed contributions to society, that were for the benefit of others? How then are they banished to the fire prepared for the devil? They've made a dangerous gamble here. Their trust and reliance is in themselves and in what they've done. Jesus condemns them for this wickedness born of a lack of faith. And they answer, "Prove it. Show us when, where, and how." Certainly some of the good they've done should be counted. They demand to be judged by that. And they are. They're condemned. For this insistence proves their unbelief. Even though they called themselves Christians, they ignored the voice of the shepherd. Though they considered themselves religious, they insisted on their own way, thinking more was needed than preaching God's word or the holy sacraments. They knew better and would not be led by the good shepherd. Indeed, whenever the word of Jesus threatens to interfere with their selfish way of life, like any goat, they rear and charge head on. Let this be a warning to you. If you won't follow him who laid down his life for you, if you ignore the shepherd's voice, then do not be surprised and offended when you're not counted among his flock. Of course, this leads to the question which has plagued theologians for thousands of years. Why are some saved and not others? As much as we might not like it, the Bible does not give an answer to this question. What the Bible does say is that God desires that all men should repent, believe in Jesus Christ, and be saved. Rather, this question is of the devil, designed to introduce nothing but doubt. The truth is, no one is worthy. Not the goats, not even the sheep. No one deserves mercy. But that's the very definition of mercy. God saves the unworthy. He saves you by grace. Heed then the warning of the goats. But don't fall off on the other side and become puffed up and proud that you're not like them. Don't you still have weak, fallen flesh? And how easily does the devil excite that flesh with earthly treasure and lusts of the flesh? How easily does he terrorize you with violence and bloodshed, with wars and rumors of war? Don't live as if God does not matter and as if you matter most. Sleeping in, sports, or whatever other excuse you'd make will not and cannot prepare you for eternal life. But it is, in fact, an idol which pulls you away. Honor the Lord's name as you should, and do not let your worship and prayers falter. You do not know better than Jesus. You need his word, his body and blood, pure doctrine, pure hymns and liturgy. It's how you know his voice. Let his love have its way with you, so that your love for others will not fail. Repent for hurting some and for failing to help others. Repent of your thoughts and desires soiled with sin. For if you dare Jesus to point out when and where you failed, you will go to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Confess your goatness and turn to the Lord Jesus. Don't trust in your own works. Trust rather in Jesus. Cling to him and to his merits. For sheep are made, not born. They're made as Jesus hangs upon the cross, your sin weighing down his shoulders, tearing his flesh, piercing his hands and feet. He hangs and the books are opened. He's punished for everything you have done. Every lie and hateful word you speak, every evil thought that passes in your mind, everything you've hidden from your spouse and tried to hide from God, it's all judged. But from those goats, Jesus forms his own sheep in the washing of his blood. See it as a toddler learns to cross himself, fold his hands, and say amen. See it as little children hum and sing parts of the liturgy at home, and as that little one who was antsy and fussy in church repeats parts of the sermon to mommy and daddy. It doesn't make sense. And even if we think we do know better, sheep are not made by programs, fads, or shticks, but by the free gifts of God in Christ, in his baptism, by his word, through his body and blood. It's ultimately why the sheep are confused. They know their works to be filthy and damnable. They know they have no right to stand before the Son of Man. Yet their deeds are judged in Jesus' body. They are ushered into heaven, body and soul, for the works Jesus lists are his. His works are credited to them. His love and mercy counts as theirs by grace. They're judged by the cross. So it shall be for you. Well, the devil's accusations are true. What avails for you on the day of judgment, what avails for you even now, is what Jesus has done for you. It's only his love and mercy, his blood poured out, which avails. You need do nothing but receive. For your sins are judged in Jesus and forgiven you. He has done it all. He pays the price you owe. There is nothing left to fear. You are baptized into Christ and into his death and resurrection. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon you, joining you to Jesus, making you cling to him. You're covered in the blood of Jesus and clothed in his righteousness. When the books are opened, he shall indeed read that you are free. The kingdom purchased in his blood is yours. You are indeed the sheep of his pasture. But for now you wait, though not as one abandoned. Jesus satisfies your hunger with his body and slakes your thirst with his blood. He welcomes you into his holy church, clothing the nakedness of your sin and guilt with the robe of his own righteousness. Jesus visits you in your affliction of sin and death, healing you by his word and holy sacraments. He comes to you who dwell in the prison of death to break the bars, burst your bonds, and bring you to life in his kingdom. Have no fear then of the day of judgment. Jesus is judged. Don't fear what you must do. Jesus does it all. So what of serving your neighbor in love? Even this is Christ who dwells in you. Your works, regardless of what men might think of them, aren't that good. But washed in the blood of the Lamb, they are perfect and impressive in the sight of God. The day is coming. Jesus shall come like a thief in the night to steal you away from this fallen world and reveal you to all creation as his beloved. You'll lack nothing on that day, for you are made his sheep by grace. Come then, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the cosmos, the creation. Come, feast upon the body crucified and the blood shed for you. Eat, drink, and be strengthened. Eat, drink, and rejoice. Your wait will not be much longer. In Jesus' name, amen.